Today on Real Radio.
The gospel of God is not interested in numbers. Now, I know that we as Christians, we get excited when there's a large gathering of people. But the truth of the matter is that God is not interested in numbers per se. He's interested in depth of understanding first.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are free. Praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament Gospel or Narrative written by Luke. We're looking at the first 15 verses of chapter 8. This is a passage that includes the well-known parable of the sower, well-known among believers at least. It's really a reality check type of scripture because you and I and everyone who hears the Word of God will fit into one of the four categories mentioned. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs with more in this series called, Is This Your Heart?
It's a question. Is this your heart? Jesus is teaching in a way that is extremely clear as he is now teaching by way of parable. And a parable is truth being cast right alongside the listener's head, right alongside the listener's heart. And it becomes incumbent upon the listener, the hearer, to take what Jesus has to say and apply it to their lives. It is our responsibility to read the word and to listen to what he says and to act upon it. So, but just by way of review, in Luke chapter 8, verse 1, it says there, now it came to pass after that he had went throughout every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom. And so Jesus' style of teaching is both preaching the word of God, that is evangelistically preaching, inviting people. That's what that word means, by the way. To preach the word is to invite people into the kingdom. And then teaching them is to instruct the believer who responds to the evangelistic message on how to walk with God. So as we look to this now, here he is speaking about the parable of the sower. And the opening scene of chapter 8 is one that could not be any more picturesque in our mind. And if you were to overlay, my friend, the Gospels regarding this particular teaching, for Matthew and Luke record them differently from different angles of perspective, yet all of it truth together. The overlay of these Gospel presentations, we see Jesus teaching along the Galilean shoreline. We know from Matthew's gospel that he is in a boat, a rented boat that is, just moments off from the shore, and he is preaching to a huge crowd of people. And there are people standing right on the shoreline and going up the slopes there of the northern Galilee shore. And for many of us, we've been there. It's a wonderful, still not developed spot, wonderful location, and Jesus is teaching. I find it interesting, by the way, that Jesus, who's the perfect engineer, for the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and in Colossians chapter 1 that Jesus is in fact the creator of all that there is. He is using the attenuation of water when it comes to speaking. You know, there's a slope that rises up. Jesus is in a boat, and he's using that pulpit to speak to a grand, large group of people. And if you've ever been in a boat or been out in the water and had someone stand on the shore, you can talk to them in the water. I don't know if you know this or not, but water attenuates the sound. It actually causes your voice to be amplified as it heads toward the shore. So Jesus, being God, is very smart. And he's in a boat and he's speaking to the people and addressing them about this most amazing and certainly serious topic of the sower and the seeds. And so he is now teaching us face to face in presentation of the gospel. And so the Christian message comes, listen, by Jesus inviting people. I want you to mark that. Church, be awake when I say what I'm saying right now. Jesus invites you to partake of him. Church, listen. He presents his message by invitation. And in this picture, it is the sower who goes out to sow seeds. He doesn't do it by sword. He doesn't do it by intimidation. He doesn't do it by force or by threats. Those are the antics of the cults. Jesus invites you. Because true faith in God is something that is a result from a heart of relationship. He never coerces anybody. John chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, my servants would fight." God's kingdom is not of this world. The kingdom of God, the gospel, is, as Jesus said, within your heart. That is, it can be available to you to have within your heart. Luke chapter 17, verse 20 says, "The Pharisees asking Jesus, 'When would the kingdom of God come?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'The kingdom of God does not come with observation.'" I find this very important in the day and age in which you and I live in. It doesn't come by some legislation or some spiritual coup or some tyrannical reign. Verse 21, "Nor will someone say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' for the kingdom of God is within you." That is, the kingdom of God must be received willfully into your heart. And then Philippians 3:20 speaks about this, where Paul the Apostle says, "For our citizenship," the word in Greek, by the way, is politics. "Our politics is in heaven, from which," that glorious place of heaven, "we await the eager return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." That's a comforting thing to know. And so the scene is this. Jesus paints us this picture of a sower going forth to sow seed. So pick it up with me. We'll read through it in verse 4. "And when a great multitude had gathered together, they had come to him from every city. And then Jesus spoke this parable." Verse 5. "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell on among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked it out. But others fell on good ground, and sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' Then his disciples asked him, saying, 'What does this parable mean?' Jesus said to them in verse 10, 'To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it has been given in parables. And seeing, they may not see, and hearing, they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are those who hear, but then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root in themselves, who believe for a while, but in time of temptation fall away.'" Verse 14. "Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they've heard, go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart keep it and bear fruit with patience." This morning in our study, as we come to part 2, you can circle it in your Bibles. We are looking at verse 6 of this chapter and verse 13, for that is the connection. In verse 6, Jesus introduces it publicly, and in verse 13, he explains it privately. You know, it's important to realize that as you look to this, there's 4 types of hearers. And I know none of us like to be pigeonholed into a category, but Jesus says in the Bible, there are 4 types of hearts representing man in all the world. 4 types of listeners. And I'm indebted to Powell's commentary, who says, and I quote, that even though 75% of those who hear the gospel eventually reject it, it is the little band of 25% that have changed the course of human history. Just like a farmer who plants his crop, though 75% of the seed may fail, it is that 25% that can feed the world. You know, I love that thought. The gospel of God is not interested in numbers. Now, I know that we as Christians, we get excited when there's a large gathering of people. But the truth of the matter is that God is not interested in numbers per se. He's interested in depth of understanding first. He's not interested in having a shallow group of gatherers that are large in number at the expense of a few gatherers who are deep in the knowledge of God. And so when the Bible talks about the sower going out to cast the seeds, that sower would understand that not all of my return is going to come back to me. He understands that as he throws the seeds. Here Jesus is saying that a crop that will come forth will be about 25% of those who listen. Now I know that God is not into statistics per se. What Jesus is warning us about is that there is a greater number who reject the gospel than those who accept it, than those who receive it. And so the church is not about quantity, it is about quality. And that quality of the believer, God can do the greatest with the least. In fact, Isaiah 55:11 reminds us that God says, I will send out my word and it will accomplish for that very thing for which I've sent it. Because of this reason, my word shall not return to me void, says God. So point number one, church, jot it down. Verse 6, is this your heart? And Christian, I want you to pay close attention this morning. I'm a little nervous right now because the burden is upon my heart to be faithful to the Lord in the giving of this message. If I'm faithful to the giving of this message, I have to also realize that about 25% of you statistically might be listening to what I have to say. So then in realizing that, I want to back up and say, oh God, I don't want to say anything to this people. I want you to say everything to them. I don't want to be the one preaching or teaching this morning. So let's pay close attention to what he has to say. Is this your heart? Jesus is asking. And all of us need to ask ourselves, is this our heart? Is our heart found in verse 6 and in verse 13? In verse 6, he says, some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. This type of heart that Jesus is speaking about is this. It is a heart unable to go deep. Will you jot that down? A heart unable to go deep as one who hears the word of God. Christian, listen. And those of you who call yourselves Christian, and I apply the same test to myself. Am I a believer in Jesus Christ who can go deep with God? And I'm not talking about weird, spacey deep. I'm not talking about, you know, discussing how many angels can fit on the point of a needle. I'm not talking about those kinds of things. I'm not talking about deciphering the 10 toes of Daniel's statue or anything like that that you can look at in Scripture. I'm talking about the depth of God's word, living, breathing, active in our lives. Jesus would ask us, is this your heart? And the heart we're looking at this morning is a heart that cannot go deep with God. This type of person, this type of heart, is a heart that is most troubling to me because it appears from what Jesus is teaching that it seems to be the prevailing amount of people who hear the word of God in a Christian setting. This appears to be the response of most. You can have people coming by the thousands to make a decision. Wouldn't it be great, as we looked at this picture, wouldn't it be great that after 1 year, all those who have come forward are still walking with God? But what do our follow-up statistics show us? That less than 15% are continuing with Jesus 1 year after this decision that you see made here on the screens. Why is that? Why is it when you look at the Billy Graham Crusades that 24% of those who make a decision for Christ 10 years later are walking with Jesus? Just 24% out of the 100% that come forward. Why? What's happening? By the way, the greatest evangelist known in human history, known statistically in human history, is the ministry of Dwight L. Moody, the great American preacher. Dwight L. Moody had a retention rate 15 years after people coming to Christ under Dwight L. Moody's ministry. Nearly 40% of them were still walking with God. And if I tell you how he did that, you would not agree. Churches would not agree. Because what Moody talks about is, and what he did, when he invited people to come forward, as you see in this clip right here, Dwight L. Moody had people come forward to make a decision for Jesus Christ, and that person was taken off to the side and schooled and understanding right in the moment. Do you understand what you did? Are you sure you know what you're doing? Yes, I understand this. Okay, great. Be here tomorrow night. And immediately, Moody put them into the ministry of handing out tracts and welcoming people at the Crusades. Immediately, they were baptized into service. Many churches would say, that's crazy. That's insane. Well, he didn't make them pastors. He didn't make them evangelists. He didn't make them preachers. He just gave them the opportunity to straighten up the seats in the stadium and to hand out welcome to the stadium, you know, and welcome to Jesus as they came on in. He put them into Christian activity. And it seems as though the more we do that, the harder and stronger people stick. And after preaching this message, I wrote myself a note yesterday to start doing this thing. I am tired of thinking about what other ministers or preachers or denominations are going to think about what we do or don't do. I don't care. What seems to stick is when people make a decision for Jesus, and when they make a decision, they are scooped up in the love of God, and they begin to put the word of God, though it be, for God so loved the world. Maybe it's all they know, that he gave his only begotten son. Maybe they won't know much for a while, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. But if you know that, and you would know that if you got saved, then you could give that to somebody else. But this kind of person rejects all that. Not on the surface. We'll see in a moment that they're very excited to hear the word of God and to respond to it. But their heart is unable to go deep. This one makes up a great number of people who professed to have faith in Jesus Christ. I will also mention this to you. I believe that it is this group of people, this type of heart that is unable to go deep, that causes you and I the greatest trouble of all in our Christianity. For these are the people who wind up causing your love and your ministry and your commitment to Christ publicly to be greatly hindered. But more on that in a moment. Why is this the case that their hearts are unable to go deep? Jot this down, verse 6. Because it's a hardened will. They have a hardened will toward the Bible. They have a hardened will toward the Bible. When Jesus said in verse 6, some fell on rock, that rock-like nature is a heart that is something preoccupied with too many things. It's a heart, the word means, that is overstimulated. The mind and the heart of the person is a heart that is cluttered. It's got a lot of stuff going on. It responds to a lot of things. As we shall see, this heart's going to be very open to a lot of stuff and very excited about stuff. It's very, very emotional, but with no depth. And Jesus, by the way, is going to graphically paint this picture in a moment. But their inability to take the word of God in will lead to a catastrophic end for them. When the gospel's preached, when they go to the Anaheim Stadium, and they hear the gospel preached, and they get all, come on, let's go. And maybe they're even going forth crying. And it's natural for us to clap and to get excited. But for those of us who've been Christian for a while, when we're clapping and excited, do you know what we're saying while we're clapping and while we're excited? Oh, dear God, cause them to stick. Dear God, call them to stay close to you. Lord, keep the enemy back from them. Because apparently, Jesus said, there's a great amount of people, when the word of God goes out, it falls on a rock hard heart. And they have an inability to take in the word of God. These people, by the way, don't get me wrong. For even around us this morning, this type of heart may be here. For about a week or two, maybe a month, maybe a year, maybe 3 years, maybe 5 years. They've been very excited about the things of God. But they're still very superficial. Christianity to them right now is convenient. Christianity is kind of cool. I go to a hip church, it's kind of fun, the worship's great and the pastor's insane and they do a lot of stuff, the people are going around the world giving the gospel and they feed the homeless and okay, great. But none of that matters in the long haul if you don't continue. Jesus is warning, is this your kind of heart that is hardened against the Bible? So these people don't sit in church, they don't have fangs, you don't smile, good morning, welcome, and they don't go, you know, they don't have fangs hanging out. They don't have red underwear with a pitchfork. They are sincerely, in their heart, excited, but there's no depth to them. They're very open, almost too open, because what goes in falls out. Mark 16:14 says, after the resurrection, Jesus appeared unto the 11 disciples and sat at the table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they didn't believe that he would be risen from the dead. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. In doing that, you'll deceive yourself. Number two, under this point, a heart unable to go deep, Jesus warns us because of its poor knowledge of spiritual things. He says in verse 6, as soon as it sprang up, it withered. As soon as that seed went into the ground, and by the way, everybody in Israel would have gotten this picture this quick, because Israel is a land covered with a beautiful, fertile topsoil. But in many regions, not all the regions, but in many regions, just about 6 inches below that is a very, very hard limestone. So when you put something into it, the seed sprouts up quickly. It really shoots up great. The water is good. The ground is fertile. A lot of it's volcanic in nature. It's very rich. And so the sun comes up, it warms up the earth, and there's the nice heat with the moisture and the fertile chemicals in the soil, and kaboom, this seed explodes into life. That's why I literally have seen this with my eyes. On a Monday in Israel, there's not much happening. And by Wednesday, the hills are red with flowers because it explodes and grows so quickly. But this type of heart, poor in knowledge of spiritual things, the soil acted or reacted very quickly to the gospel. The gospel was given, and it acted or reacted very quickly to the presentation of the gospel. But tragically, this man or this woman never counted the cost of following Jesus. They only heard the, listen everyone, they heard the benefits of following Jesus. They were not told that it could get tough. Christian, listen, if you're here this morning and you have not yet heard this, you need to hear this now. Yes, Christianity is a joy. Yes, it's fulfilling. Yes, Jesus is the only way to heaven. But listen, the Bible tells us it can be tough along the way. It's true. In Matthew 13, verses 5 and 6 and verse 21, Matthew records his messages this way. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root in themselves, they withered away. Verse 21, Matthew 13 says, this kind of person endures only for a while. We just don't know how long a while is. He just says, just for a while.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a presentation called, Is This Your Heart?, taken from the first 15 verses of Luke chapter 8. It's part of our journey through the New Testament narrative of Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we want to give you a couple of reminders. First, hischannel.com carries our television outreach, Journey with Jack Hibbs, hischannel.com. His channel also airs our midweek study on Wednesday nights. And here's Pastor Jack to tell us more about it. Pastor Jack?
Yeah, Mike, we are in the midst of an awesome series. In fact, it's so excellent, I believe, that we wanted to make that announcement right here on Real Radio. We are going through a special series regarding the disciplines of life. And boy, I got to tell you that just the word discipline causes people to kind of take a step back. We live in a culture today that discipline is out of the vocabulary. Discipline is not discussed. And yet without disciplines, we cannot be a disciple. The very word disciple is connected to discipline, and that is discipleship. If you're in the Southern California area, just drive on out on a Wednesday night, and we're seeing God do some pretty wonderful stuff. Let me give you a couple of titles that we're going through. It's a 31-week series, but I'll just point out a few of them. We're going to be looking at the disciplines of disappointment. Everybody in life struggles with disappointment. Yet we have found out that God is in the midst of disappointment. That's where often we are taught the greatest things regarding our Christian faith. And then the disciplines of doubt, for example. Everybody struggles to some degree with doubt. And we're going to talk about the disciplines of how to overcome doubt that comes against the Christian walk. So it's a great series. If you're in the Southern California area, join us. And if you can't, you can be with us on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Pacific time at hischannel.com.
Okay, and again, that's hischannel.com, hischannel.com. We do have a link at realradioactive.org. That's our own realradioactive.org. And also, we want to tell you about an upcoming parenting conference. It's on May the 21st and 22nd. You do have to register for it. It's called Raising Truly Great Kids with Dr. Tim Kimmel from Family Matters. Again, that's on a Friday and Saturday, May the 21st and 22nd. It'll cover a number of topics like what it takes to raise great kids in the midst of busy lives, practical ways to take the fear out and put the fun back into parenting, turning heartache to hope with your rebellious child, how to bring out the best in your strong-willed child, and a lot more. Now, you do have to register for this, and you can do so online. Just visit us again at realradioactive.org and just click the link that says Raising Truly Great Kids. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.